We're going to be reading Psalm 61 this evening, and that's on page 574 in the Church Bibles. 574, Psalm 61. To the choir master with stringed instruments of David. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day.
Good evening, everyone. My name is William. I'm the Assistant Youth and Children's Worker here at St. John's. Let me pray for us as we begin. Dear Father God, thank you that you have given us your word. Thank you that you give us words to cry out to you. I pray that you would speak to us now this evening, helping us to know how we can turn to you when our hearts are faint. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've got a Bible in front of you, do keep it open to Psalm 61. And just have a look down to the end of verse 2, where David says that he calls to God when his heart is faint. Well, what does that mean, to have a faint heart? To have a heart that is faint. Well, I think the word faint, faint, has the sense of feeling weak or feeble. I think it's describing the feeling of being overwhelmed. And I want us to just reflect in our own hearts now on a question. And it's, what are some of the things that make us feel overwhelmed? What are some of the things that make us feel overwhelmed? And how do you respond when you are feeling that way? Maybe it's responsibilities at work or just in life in general. Maybe it's a deadline or the pressure of exams coming up. Maybe it's a mental health struggle or physical health for ourselves or for someone we love. Maybe it's finances or relationship problems. Or even a feeling of guilt. Often it's a whole combination of things building up together that makes us feel overwhelmed. And I'm not sure how you might be tempted to respond to that feeling. We may respond by looking within ourselves for strength to get through. We may try to double down our efforts and increase our productivity. Or maybe we try to hide how we feel from others. And also from ourselves through distractions. And we're going to see that Psalm 61 shows us a better way to respond. And we're going to walk through it under four headings. And in each section, David shows us the right response. And each one, I think, challenges a particular way that we tend to respond wrongly when our hearts are faint. And as we go, I want us to notice the journey that David takes us on. He takes us on a journey from a faint heart to remembering who God is, to lifting our eyes to the King, to a resolve to praise. And so our first heading is, when your heart is faint, cry out to be led. When your heart is faint, cry out to be led. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you, and my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Notice first what David doesn't do. So he doesn't withdraw or go quiet. He doesn't pretend that everything is fine. Instead, he cries out. And that word cry is urgent, isn't it? It's the language of someone who needs to be heard, which is why he doubles up. He says, "Hear my cry, listen to my prayer." He really needs God to hear him. And look at where he is as he prays. He's praying from the ends of the earth. Now, that might be a literal place. There were seasons of David's life when he was driven out far from Jerusalem and far from the place where God's presence dwelt with his people. But even if it's not literal, maybe we know what he means. That phrase describes how we can sometimes feel. We can feel like there's a vast distance between us and God, like he's out of our reach. And look at how verse 2 ends. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I think this is the key request. And let's try to picture what that image means. Perhaps imagine that you are a rock climber and you're in a precarious position and you're exposed on this cliff edge with danger below and all around you. But you can see that above you is a solid rock. It's higher up, and it's a stable and safe place, a place where you would be secure. But you can't get there. And the gap between where you are and where you need to be is too great, and you cannot reach it on your own. It's important to see that David doesn't cry, "Help me to climb." And he doesn't pray, "Point me in the right direction." He prays, "Lead me, lead me." The point in these verses is that he's unable to get there, and he's utterly dependent on God to lead him. So I think the wrong way of responding that this opening movement pushes against is a response of self-sufficiency. It's probably worth saying that sometimes when we feel overwhelmed, just a bit of clarity and effort can move us forwards and help us to make progress. There have been plenty of times in my life where I felt overwhelmed, but what I really needed to do was just get on with whatever it was that God had given me to do. And often we find that God has already given us what we need for the situation we're in. And I think this psalm is helpful for those situations to help us to remember to ask for help, but I think it's most helpful in situations where we simply cannot resolve ourselves. There are situations and there are realities which we cannot resolve. I think the clearest place where we see this is not just in circumstances, but it's our sin. We cannot deal with our guilt before God. We cannot reconcile ourselves to him. We cannot climb our way back to a right relationship with God. When it comes to our sin, we need to cry out to God for mercy. And that brings me to my second point, which is that when your heart is faint, remember who God has been. When your heart is faint, remember who God has been. Let's read verses 3-5. "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." And notice this is all in the past tense. When our hearts are faint, we may well have the instinct to sort of spiral forwards and to sort of project our pain in the current moment into the future and to assume this is how all things will always be. Maybe we numb ourselves through distractions. I know that's often true of me. It can be easier for me to sort of scroll for my phone rather than to deliberately look back at what God has done. I think distraction is the avoidance of memory. And to remember is exactly what this part of the psalm is calling us to do. David does the opposite of distracting himself. He deliberately roots himself in the past. And he piles up the images of who God is, doesn't he? A refuge, strong tower, a tent, a shelter of wings. Each one is saying something a little bit different about who God has been for him. And the refuge and the strong tower speak of God's protection. There are real enemies and real dangers, and God has been the place of safety. And the tent takes us to the tabernacle, the place where God's presence dwelt among his people. David longs to be there, to be close to God and in his presence. And then the shelter of his wings. I want us to stay with that image for a moment because I think it's the most intimate one. Think about how a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings when there is danger. The chick cannot protect itself. It cannot fight off whatever threatens it. All it can do is come close and be covered. And the hen draws it in completely and tenderly so that the chick is hidden and sheltered. Or think of an eagle covering its young in the nest. It's an image of total dependency and total protection. That is the image David reaches for when he speaks of how God has been faithful to him. God is not a distant protector who points to safety from afar, but he's one who covers, who draws close, and who shelters. And the force of all these images together leads David to see how this God he is crying to now is the God who has heard him before. And so have a look at verses 1 and 5. So in verse 1, David prays, "Hear my cry, O God." But in verse 5, he says, "For you, O God, have heard my vows." So David's confidence in the presence is built on God's faithfulness to him in the past. He's not saying his current situation has been resolved, but he is saying that the God that he is crying to now is the God who has heard him before, and that is why he can keep crying out. And look at the second half of verse 5. "You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." What does that mean? Well, the heritage is the inheritance. It's what we receive because of who we belong to. And David is saying, I'm not alone. I don't face this as an isolated individual. I belong to your people, and with them I share in everything you have promised. And I think this matters enormously if our hearts are faint, if we're feeling overwhelmed. Because when we feel that way, we often feel alone, don't we? But David says, no, remind yourself of who God has been for you, and you will see that you are not alone. And I do want to just briefly say that this call to remember, it should not be seen as a burden. Our hope does not rest on the strength of our memory. It rests on who God is and what he has done, and supremely what he has done in Jesus Christ. Now, even if we feel confused or if we forget, God does not forget. His love shown to us in Christ does not change. We can all turn to him and find that he remains faithful. I wonder if these verses can be true of you. Are you someone who fears God's name? Can you look back and see that God has given what God has given to you, that he has given you the inheritance of those who fear his name? Or is that not something that you can say? This inheritance is not a vague idea. It's eternal life with God, and it's belonging to his people. If you're a Christian, that is something that's true of you. We had a series a while back in Paul's letter to the Colossians, and Paul says there that if you are a Christian, then God has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has qualified you, not because you've worked your way in or because you deserve it, but because he has brought you in. If you have put your trust in Jesus, then you are trusting in his death on the cross in your place for your forgiveness. And that means that you belong to him. and to his people. You are part of the church family. And that's, if that's not something that you can say, then this is what God is inviting you into. David has cried out, and he has remembered. And then the psalm takes a turn that we might not expect. Look down at verses 6 to 7. So our third heading is, when your heart is faint, look to the king. When your heart is faint, look to the king. So verses 6 and 7. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. This is quite a striking shift, since the whole psalm so far has been quite personal. David has been talking about me, and my heart, and my cry. And then suddenly David pulls back and starts praying for the king. You might wonder why. Is he praying for himself? He was the king. Or is he praying for his royal line, for whoever comes after him? I think it's worth slowing down and looking carefully at the language. He says, may his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. No ordinary king can fulfill these prayers. Not David or his son Solomon. No ordinary reign lasts to all generations. No ordinary king is enthroned forever. So David is praying beyond himself. He's praying for the king that his kingship points forward to. And the New Testament is clear that is Jesus Christ. He is the greater son of David, whose reign has no end. And he is raised from death to eternal life. And he is risen to the right hand of the Father, where he is enthroned forever. His kingdom will have no end. And look at what David prays. We'll watch over the king. It's steadfast love and faithfulness. They stand guard like guardians over the king, securing his reign. I think maybe the wrong way of responding that this section is addressing is a misplaced security. When we are overwhelmed, we may feel tempted to focus on things that do not last, particularly our circumstances, or our plans. When we're overwhelmed, we may be overwhelmed not just because of what's happening, but because we're trying to secure what we can't secure. Part of why we might be anxious is because deep down we're relying on our circumstances for our stability. But David lifts his eyes, and he calls us to lift our eyes too, calls us to remind ourselves that our ultimate future does not depend on us resolving our situation, and no matter how hopeless it may be. It rests on the reign of a king whose kingdom cannot be shaken. This doesn't mean that what we might be dealing with suddenly disappears. The work pressure might still be there. The diagnosis may not change. And the uncertainty about the future may still feel very real. But if we are lifting our eyes to the King Jesus and putting our trust in him, then we can know that our future is ultimately not defined by those things. Because all those who trust in Jesus are united to him. The steadfast love and faithfulness that watch over him, watch over us too. And his security becomes our security, and his future our future. I think this is a challenging thing to remember when feeling overwhelmed, because I can say that I believe that Christ's reign is forever, and then spend a lot of my time anxious about things that are not forever. Psalm 61 is asking us to lift our eyes and to stop trying to secure what only Christ can secure for us. To rest in the truth that if we have trusted in Jesus, then our future is secure in him. So David has cried out, he's remembered who God has been, and he has looked to the king. And all of it leads him somewhere. So our final heading is, when your heart is faint, keep on in praise. When your heart is faint, keep on in praise. Let's read the final verse, just verse 8. So will I sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Everything David has said leads here, and those words, so will I, are like a resolution. He sets himself in a new direction. David's going to sing, and not just once, but ever. He's going to perform his vows day after day. I don't want us to misunderstand that. It's not David bargaining with God. The vows are simply expressions of ongoing commitment, of a settled faithfulness to the God he belongs to. And David is saying, day after day, I will live as someone who belongs to God. You could say that his heart was faint, but now, as a result of this journey through the psalm, he has a heart that is set on praising God. When our hearts are faint and we are feeling overwhelmed, our instinct might be to look within ourselves, or to distract ourselves, or to try to secure our own future. But I hope we've been able to see through how David writes this psalm that we can respond by crying out to God to be led, by remembering who God's been, and by lifting our eyes to the King. And that this leads us to a place where we can keep going on in praise. And the reason we can do all of this is because of Jesus. Now, Jesus is the rock that is higher than we are, to whom we must be led. He is the place of safety that we could never reach on our own, the refuge and the strong tower and the sheltering wings. He is the King whose reign will never end, and through his death on the cross and his resurrection, all those who put their trust in him are brought into his security. And though life may still be hard, there are still things that make us feel overwhelmed, we can cry out to him, knowing that our ultimate security rests in him. And because of his mercy and grace, even faint hearts can become hearts of praise. Amen.